الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. إن شاء الله we will complete the remaining hadith of this chapter on the fasting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We've already discussed a number of the hadith to give us a good understanding, and inshallah these are the remaining hadiths of the chapter. So we start inshallah from hadith 311.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبالإسناد المتصل منا إلى الإمام الترمذي قال حدثنا أبو حفص عمرو بن علي قال حدثنا عبد الله بن داود عن ثور بن يزيد عن خالد بن معدان ربيعة الجرشي عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرى صوم الاثنين والخميس. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن يحيى قال حدثنا أبو عاصم محمد بن رفاعة سهيل بن أبي صالح عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعرض الأعمال يوم الاثنين والخميس فأحب أن يعرض عملي وأنا صائم. وبه قال حدثنا محمود بن غيلان قال حدثنا أبو أحمد ومعاوية بن هشام قال حدثنا سفيان والمنصور عن خيثمة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم من الشهر السبت والأحد والاثنين ومن الشهر الآخر الثلاثاء والأربعاء والخميس. وبه قال حدثنا أبو مصعب المديني عن مالك بن أنس عن أبي النضر عن أبي سلمة بن عبد الرحمن عائشة قالت ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم في شهر أكثر من صيامه في شعبان. وبه قال حدثنا محمود بن غيلان قال حدثنا أبو داود قال حدثنا شعبة يزيد الرشك قال سمعت معاذة قالت قلت لعائشة كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر؟ قالت نعم. قلت من أيه كان يصوم؟ قالت كان لا يبالي من أيه صام. قال أبو عيسى يزيد الرشك هو يزيد الضبعي البصري وهو ثقة روى عنه شعبة وعبد الوارث ابن سعيد وحماد بن زيد وإسماعيل بن إبراهيم وغير واحد من الأئمة وهو يزيد القاسم ويقال القسام، والرشك بلغة أهل البصرة هو القسام. وبه قال حدثنا هارون بن إسحاق الهمداني قال حدثنا عبدة بن سليمان عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان عاشوراء يوما تصومه قريش في الجاهلية، وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصومه، فلما قدم المدينة صامه وأمر بصيامه، فلما افترض رمضان كان رمضان هو الفريضة وترك عاشوراء، فمن شاء صامه ومن شاء تركه. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي قال حدثنا سفيان عن منصور عن إبراهيم عن علقمة قال سألت عائشة رضي الله عنها أكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخص من الأيام شيئا؟ قالت كان عمله ديمة، وأيكم يطيق ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطيق. وبه قال حدثنا هارون بن إسحاق قال حدثنا عبدة عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعندي امرأة، فقال من هذه؟ قلت فلانة لا تنام الليل. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم من الأعمال ما تطيقون، فوالله لا يمل الله حتى تملوا. وكان أحب ذلك إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي يدوم عليه صاحبه. وبه قال حدثنا أبو هشام محمد بن يزيد الرفاعي قال حدثنا ابن فضيل عن الأعمش عن أبي صالح قال سألت عائشة وأم سلمة رضي الله عنهما أي العمل كان أحب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قالتا ما ديم عليه وإن قل. وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا عبد الله بن صالح قال حدثني معاوية بن صالح عن عمرو بن قيس أنه سمع عاصم بن حميد قال سمعت عوف بن مالك يقول كنت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة فاستاك ثم توضأ ثم قام يصلي فقمت معه، فبدأ فاستفتح البقرة فلا يمر بآية رحمة إلا وقف فسأل، ولا يمر بآية عذاب إلا وقف فتعوذ، ثم ركع فمكث راكعا بقدر قيامه ويقول في ركوعه سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة، ثم سجد بقدر ركوعه ويقول في سجوده سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة، ثم قرأ آل عمران ثم سورة ثم سورة، يفعل مثل ذلك في كل ركعة. Those are the final hadith of the chapter. So we start from hadith number. We're going to discuss hadith number 314 first, then 315, and then 312, 313. That's just how it is in this other edition. So hadith number 314 is related from Aisha radiallahu anha. She says,
ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم أي في شهر أكثر من صيامه في شعبان. This one kind of gives a conclusive picture of his fasting during this month. Says that there was no month in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted more than the month of Sha'ban. Outside Ramadan, Sha'ban was the month in which he fasted the most out of any other months. We've already discussed the reasons for that last time. It's in preparation. It's like the nafl prayers before the fard prayer. It's to get you in the mode. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast throughout the year, a few days here, there, many days, sometimes not many days. But in Sha'ban, he used to increase it in anticipation for Ramadan. Not in Rajab, because then that would be 2 months in advance. That's why the Aisha radiallahu anha said in another hadith, he never fasted 2 consecutive months together, because that gets too much then. Fasting is not supposed to be a continuous worship. It's a worship that you do bit by bit. That's how it's beneficial. Otherwise it just becomes a reorganization of your food hours. It's not the mujahada in it. The purpose of it is to do it sometimes so that it takes your body out of your normal habit. So you have to do sabr, you have to be patient, you have to abstain, which kills the nafs. If it's just every day, then there's lots of people that have a certain diet, that eat very little. So that's not the purpose of it, is not to just do it continuously. That's why sawmud dahr like that is not permitted. It has to be instability, which is one day fasting and one day no fasting. That's the maximum you could do. One day fast and one day no fast. One day fast, one day no fast, if you want to do it for a long period. The next hadith is hadith number 315, which is again related from Mu'adha, who relates that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the question. So even the women were interested. So they would go and ask Aisha radiallahu anha, أَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَسُومُ ثَلَاثَ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ. She must have heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast every month, 3 days or something. So just to clarify, she got a chance to ask Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast 3 days every month? Did he fast for 3 days every month? She said, yes, na'am. قُلْتُ مِنْ أَيِّهِ كَانَ يَصُومُ. Which days? Now she wanted to know which days of the month that he used to fast. So we already know the different ahadith that we read last time. But in here, she clarifies, قَالَتْ كَانَ لَا يُبَالِي مِنْ أَيِّهِ صَامُ. It didn't matter. There was no particular days. According, this is what Aisha radiallahu anha is saying. It didn't matter which days it was. He just made sure that he fasted at least 3 days a month. Which days? There's many, many different opinions narrated about which days he used to fast. Now, this hadith is related by a narrator, a rabi, whose name is Yazid al-Rishk. Imam Tirmidhi relates from his teacher Mahmud ibn Ghaylan. He relates from Abu Dawood. He relates from Shu'bah. And he relates from Yazid al-Rishk. So Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, the author, decides to tell us something about Yazid al-Rishk. Because some people thought he was weak as a narrator. So generally he doesn't comment in this book as much. But in this one he decided to establish that this hadith is good and sound. He said Yazid al-Rishk is actually Yazid ibn Abi Yazid al-Dabu'i. Al-Basri, he was a Basran from Iraq. And وَهُوَ ثِقَةٌ. So he's a trustworthy narrator. Don't think he's weak, he's a trustworthy narrator. Shu'bah has related from him. And everybody agrees that Shu'bah is Shu'bah. Shu'bah was a major hadith scholar. You'll hear him mentioned everywhere. He's the one, maybe I told you the story about him, that another scholar called Abdurrahman al-Ka'nabi, he wasn't a hadith scholar before, he was just a person who used to like to enjoy himself. He had lots of friends. He used to throw a lot of parties. He used to wear funky clothing. And one day he was waiting for his friends to come. He'd called all of them for food and drink. So he was waiting for them to come. So as he was waiting outside, got nothing else to do. He doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have WhatsApp. He's got no Facebook, no Twitter. So he can't tell when they're coming. So he has to just wait. Nowadays there's no surprise anymore. You know when somebody's coming, right? You know every minute where they are. Because they're telling, oh, I've just passed this. I just saw this. I just saw that. Kind of crazy people, man. You see, some people on Twitter, they've got 20 followers, but they've got 3,000 tweets. They've got 3,000 messages that they've said over the last 1 year or 2 years. I mean, all of that, ya Allah, all of that is going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Oh, these shoes are really nice. That's what they say. Allah protect us. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayriha wa khayri ma fiha wa na'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma. That's the dua for Twitter. And for Facebook, you need a stronger dua. Oh Allah, give me the best of it. And oh Allah, save me from the evil in it. So this, he was sitting outside, he's waiting. And then suddenly, this big procession comes along with some very dignified looking person. So he said, he asked everybody, who's this? He said, oh, that's Shu'bah. So he said, Aish Shu'bah. What is Shu'bah? Aish Shu'bah. That's what he said. Like, what the heck is Shu'bah? As we would say today. You know, you can imagine some guys like, who the heck is he? What's all these guys doing behind him? That kind of an attitude, you can imagine it. Oh, he's a hadith scholar. He's one of the greatest hadith scholars, somebody told him. So he says, okay, fine. He goes up to him, he says, hadithni. Mention a hadith to me. He goes right up to him, in front of everybody, he says, give me a hadith. So Shu'bah looks at him, and he had, I think, red trousers on, so you could imagine, he used to dress funky maybe. And he said, you don't look like a student of hadith. You don't look like a person who studies hadith, he said. You don't look like a person min ahlihi. So you know what he does? He pulls out a knife. He said, hadithni aw ajrahuk. Give me a hadith, relate a hadith to me, otherwise I'm going to stab you. Can you imagine a drug guy outside doing the same thing? But this was his hidayat. This was the, you know, this is what got him. So Shu'bah said, fine. And he related from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have no shyness, no modesty, no haya, then do as you wish. Look at just some short words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such an effect they had on his heart. He was willing to, you know, do whatever in the beginning. Such an effect. Immediately he goes back to his house, he tells his mother that, okay, when my friends come, feed them, because the food is ready. And then he went and he broke all of the drink bottles, you know, the wine bottles. And immediately he went to study in Medina Munawwara. And he became a great hadith scholar. He's called Al-Ka'nabi. We've covered him many times. So this is Shu'bah. So what Imam Tirmidhi is saying is that even Shu'bah has taken hadith from this Yazid, which means Yazid must be good enough, because Shu'bah doesn't take from just anybody. So anyway, he's saying that Shu'bah has related from him Abdul Warith ibn Sa'id, Hammad ibn Zayd, Ismail ibn Ibrahim, and many other imams of hadith. And great, great hadith scholars have related from him, so how can he be weak? So he's just trying to prove something. And then he says, وَهُوَ يَزِيدْ al-Qasim. Yazid al-Rishk means Yazid al-Qasim. Because, or Yazid al-Qassam. Because Rishk in the language of the people of Basra means Qassam. Qassam means a person who knows how to distribute assets. He's used by the national treasury to sort out people's assets when there's a difference of opinion or inheritance. So he was a master of inheritance distribution. He used to know how to distribute lands of people. I think they need him in India and in other countries, because there's always these people are killing each other over pieces of land and breaking families because of lands, and they need somebody like that to sort it out. Other people say that now Rishk actually means a big beard, that he had a very big beard, very big and very bushy beard. And Ibn al-Jawzi has written a story about him, that once a, which is kind of a very strange story he's written, Ibn al-Jawzi, the scholar of Baghdad, he said that Yazid al-Rishk, once a scorpion lived in his beard for 3 days. That's how big he was, and he didn't even realize. So then the question is that, how is that possible? How can there be such a story? Then they give reasons that maybe he was in the woods somewhere where there's lots of scorpions, and he was just focused. But it's not important. It's just somebody said it, so I just thought I'll mention it to you. The next hadith is hadith number 311, which is related from Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yataharra sawm al-ithnaini wal-khamis. Now we learn here, what are the days of the month that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to fast. In one place Aisha radiallahu anha said, there was no days particular. But when she saw that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focused on these days, she mentioned, oh, it was these days. What did she say? Kan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yataharra sawm al-ithnaini wal-khamis. He used to try to fast Monday and Thursday. He used to try to fast Monday and Thursday. So we've read about that before as well. The next hadith is hadith number 312, which is related from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, تُعْرَضُ الْأَعْمَالِ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَالْخَمِيسِ فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٍ. He gives a reason why Monday and Thursday, he used to fast Monday and Thursday. Although he used to fast many other days as well, but this is why I think Monday and Thursday is the most famous of those narrations, and most people do this one. Because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that actions, our deeds,
our a'mal, they are presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, on Mondays and Thursdays. And Prophet ﷺ said, I prefer and I would like that my actions are presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm fasting. So then there's more mercy, there's more compassion. Oh, he's fasting, let's take it easy, let's give him more reward. So this is probably the reason why Monday and Thursday is the most famous possibility of the days of the week that you should fast. Imam Halimi, who's a great, I believe, Moroccan scholar, I think he's buried in Marrakesh. He says that the angels of actions, the angels that take our actions, they come on Mondays and Thursdays. So one group comes from Monday until Thursday. And then they go up with the actions from Monday to Thursday. Then the other group that has come down on Thursday, that counts all of your actions and takes it back on Monday. So there's two reports a week. And there's two sets of angels that report this. So every time the Monday ones go up and climb up, they recite, they read, they report whatever they have written for that week. So that is a presentation of the deeds, whether that's in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in front of the angels. Oh, this servant has done this much, this has... And then on the next Thursday, that group will go up and mention the actions they've done from Monday to Thursday. And then the other one will do it on Monday, so what they've done over the weekend. Ulama say that that is their ibadah. That's the ibadah of these angels, to go and do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly. But this is to show off in front of the people of the heavens that these are the deeds of my ummati. So these are the weekly deeds. Then there are two other times of the year when your deeds are shown. The whole year's deeds, like generally the whole year's deeds. How has he been this year? That is on 15th of Sha'ban. Right, 15th of Sha'ban, Laylatul Bara'ah. And the other one is Laylatul Qadr. It's about both of those. Get the whole world, the whole year's deeds are seen. How is he this year? What's the kind of total average balance? You know, you get your yearly summary and you get your monthly summary. It's like that. Then there is a very detailed one that takes place every day. Fajr and Asr time. Every single day, there's a detailed one. And the whole reason for this is just to show the angels, that remember they complained about the humans, why are you going to create these human beings? And Allah said, I know what you don't know. I know the wisdom why I'm creating them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them see the a'mal of the ibad. So then if our deeds are being shown every night, and then once, twice a week, and then twice a year as well, then the average of all of that will be when we get into the grave. And the questions will occur based on the average of all of this. So that is one exam you can't prepare the answers for. You can't write them on your shirt, behind your shirt, on a little piece of paper on your hand. Memorize them. That is just where the whole life will just speak based on what you've done. May Allah give us steadfastness and success. Next hadith, hadith number 313, which is related from Aisha radiallahu anha again. Why do you think most of these ahadith about fasting are related from Aisha radiallahu anha? Most of them. Why from Aisha radiallahu anha? And not Abu Huraira and all these other sahabi. She is the wife. She knows at home the Prophet is not going to go and show off I'm fasting today to everybody. So if anybody knew, it was his wives. That's why all the descriptive hadith are by her. He used to fast. Abu Huraira, when he says, he said it because the Prophet ﷺ told him that the reason I fast is because this is... So he's encouraging them as well. So it's mustahab. Monday and Thursday is mustahab. 3 days a month is sunnah. It's stronger. Any 3 days of the month is stronger, right? 3 days of the month is a sunnah. That's a stronger one than Mondays and Thursdays. That's mustahab. Because there's many difference of opinion as to which days. But the fact that he fasted 3 days is pretty much agreed upon. Which are the 3 days? The strongest opinion in that is the 13, 14, 15. Right, the next hadith, 313, is from Aisha radiallahu anha, as we said. She says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم من الشهر السبت والأحد والإثنين ومن الشهر الآخر الثلاثاء والأربعاء والخميس. Now she's giving a different explanation. Because now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after a few months, he may have changed his routine. So she said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast from 1 month. He used to fast Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Long weekend. Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Then the next month, he used to fast Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Right? So he used to fast Saturday, Sunday, Monday this month. Then next month he used to fast the 3 days were the next 3 days. So it wasn't the same. The wisdom behind all of this will be mentioned later. But then the only day that's being missed out is Friday. But we already also read that there was hardly a day when he hardly missed fast on Friday sometimes. It's even mentioned. Yet in some places he said, don't fast on Friday. But we read that it's fine to fast on Friday. According to the Hanafis and Malikis, it's fine to fast on Fridays. But if you can join it with another day, it's better to do that. But it's completely fine to fast on Friday. According to the Malikis and according to the Hanafis. The Shafi'is, they think the other hadith is stronger. It says, don't fast it alone, fast it together. Another reason could be, as ulama mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth in 6 days. Fi sittati ayyamin, as Allah mentions in the Quran. So that started Monday, that's Yawm al-Ahad, the first day. Yawm al-Ithnain means the second day. Ithnain means second. Thulatha, third. Arbi'a, fourth. And then Yawm al-Khamis. And Yawm al-Jum'ah. Then Yawm al-Sabt. And then Yawm al-Ahad. The Yahud, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then rested on the Saturday. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in responding to that, He doesn't need a rest. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِن لُغُوب. No kind of tiredness or weariness touched us, affected us. We weren't tired. So this thing that you make up to say that He rested on this day, there's no such thing like that. Allah doesn't need a rest. The only reason He created it in 6 days like that is to show that even when He created the heavens and the earth, He did it in order and over the course of days so that it would be a lesson for us to understand as well. Because if He wanted to show His power, He could have just created it like that. If somebody wants to just display their power, He could have, and He couldn't, He could have still done it in 6 days and told us we did it in 1 day. Who was there to look at Him? Who was there to tell on Him that no, He didn't do it in 1 day, He did it in 6 days? The fact that He did it in 6 days and then He tells us that He did it in 6 days is because He's trying to say, this is how I want you to do things as well. Don't rush into things and just do them like that. Take your time and do things properly. Because otherwise, if it was just to show power, He could have just done it in 1 day. Or He could have done it in 100 days and said, I did it in 1 day. No, there was nobody to show or see or prove it or prove Him wrong. The reason why then Yawm al-Jumu'ah is called Jumu'ah because it's the day they say that, because it's the day that the alam, all the aspects of the dunya came together. So ijtima', Jumu'ah, ijtima', the day of gathering. So everything came together on this day. That's the word ijtima', means a gathering. The next hadith, hadith number 316, is related from Aisha radiallahu anha again. It said, كَانَ عَشُورَ يَوْمٌ تَصُومُهُ قُرَيْشٌ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. The 10th of Muharram was a day that the Quraysh used to fast in Jahiliyyah as well. So we know the Yahud used to do it very regularly, but the Quraysh, some of the Quraysh used to do it as well. They used to fast on the 10th of Muharram. Why they used to fast on the 10th of Muharram, we don't know for sure. It could either be because they learned this from the Ahlul Kitab. They learned this from the Jews and Christians maybe. Or they just decided that that was a good day to fast for some, because of some stories that they used to, that they heard. In fact, according to Ikrimah, he says that the Quraysh once committed a sin, a communal sin. And in the time of Jahiliyyah, and they felt really bad about it. So somebody said to them that if you fast on this 10th of Muharram, then inshallah you'll be forgiven. Somebody must have told them, one of the other nations must have told them. So that's why they started fasting on this day sometimes. Imam Qurtubi, he mentions that the reason they used to fast on this day is because although they had no religion, but the one religion that they had some effects still of, some influences of, was Ibrahimi religion, from Ibrahim alayhi salam through Ismail alayhi salam, because he was in Mecca. Most of it had been changed and everything. There was some small teachings of it left. One of them was this maybe. Or they were told about the good things that happened on this day. They say that Nuh alayhi salam's, none of this is 100% proven, but they say Nuh alayhi salam, his ship also came to rest and he survived the flood on this day. These are all possibilities, Allah knows it. So Nuh alayhi salam fasted this day shukran, as a shukr. So they used to do that as well. In fact, that's the day they used to put the cloth of the Kaaba on, the 10th of Muharram. That's what the Jahiliyyah, they used to do in Jahiliyyah. I don't know when they do it now. Now they have some time where they do it, I don't know when. Anyway, then it looks like the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it then. Or maybe he did do it, because they used to do Hajj as well, Jahiliyyah times.
Prophet ﷺ carried it on. When he went to Medina Munawwara, he then started fasting, because we know the story that he saw the Jews fasting as well. He said, why do you fast? I know those people in Makkah used to fast, but why do you guys fast very regularly? He said, oh, this is the day when Musa alayhi salam was saved from the Pharaoh. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, then we're going to do that as well, because you know, we can trust this. And Musa alayhi salam is closer to us than them. So we're going to fast as well. So he commanded everybody to fast as well. Now we also know that that was the first fast that for the first year after he went to Medina Munawwara, for 1 year this became a fard, to fast on the 10th of Muharram. Then Ramadan was made necessary, so Ashura became Sunnah only. The next hadith is related from Alqamah, who is a tabi'i. He said, I asked Aisha radiyallahu anha, أَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَخُصُّ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ شَيْئًا. You see, everybody wants to know, it's easier for human beings to have a routine. Right? Tell me what to do. Which day? And I'll do it. If I have to work it out myself, it gets more complicated, because then I become lax. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, aside from the fara'id, he tried to make it that he didn't specify particular times or dates for things. Otherwise, for the ummah, although it would have been easier, but then that's all they would have done. Okay, I'm just going to fast these 2 days and khalas, finish. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved around quite a bit. Right? So he did it sometimes here, sometimes this, sometimes that, sometimes this. Just so that, number one, it doesn't become fard. And number two, people just don't follow that only and do it. Like, because you had a history of the other religions who did that. They just restricted everything on 1 day or 2 days or something like that. So in this hadith, Alqamah, he asks Aisha radiallahu anha, that did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specify any days for these nafil worships, for his nafil prayer, for his fasting, nafil fasting and so on? And she gave him a beautiful answer. She must have been asked so many times, she thought, okay, the best answer I can give is, كَانَ عَمَلُهُ دِيمًا. His action, whatever he did, was the permanent action. Which means, whatever he did it regularly. So pick your days and do them regularly. Right? Don't go and try to do something too much on one time and then after that nothing happens. Just go and pick some days what you can do, and just do that much. Because that is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she's saying, forget the 3 days of the month being the middle 3 days or the first 3 days. You just pick whichever one works for you and do it. So that is the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to just like that whatever he did it regularly. And although in that, there is a kind of, by doing it regularly, it shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing it regularly, so we should also do it regularly. So he's trying to make it very specific. But he doesn't tell you, or he doesn't specify the days you must do it. So he gives you some, he says, look, this is what I do. You do it as well on some of these days. What some ulama mention is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like to do deeds regularly. His ummah doesn't have the ability to do deeds regularly, even without the fact that they're not specified. Like if we were to fast every 3 days every month, 12, 13, 14, right? Or any 3 days of the month. How many people have the ability to do that? Okay, you might have in the winter in England. How many people have that in the summer? Not everybody. It's very few. In winter, mashallah, more people fast. Because it's not a joke, but it's just delaying your lunch. Alhamdulillah, with the good intention, you still get the reward of a full fast. You know, we can't, it's not a joke, it's still, that's what the niyyah is there for. So if we can't even be regular without specifying the days, if the Prophet ﷺ also specified the days for us, then that would become even more difficult. Because if you miss those days, then you've missed it. But this way, okay, I couldn't make the 12, 13, 14, okay, I'll do 16, 17, 18, or I'll do another 3 days because I'm on holiday on those days, or the work isn't as difficult, or the weather's better, or something like that. So that's the whole purpose, that the Prophet ﷺ did not want to specify the days when it wasn't fard. The fard are the basics, but after that it's all the nafl. See the word dīmatun, that's where he said that the actions of Rasulullah ﷺ was dīmatun. Dīmatun actually means the slow, but continuous rain. So it's not hard rain, it's just slow, calm rain. Just goes on and on and on. And that is the kind of action that Aisha radiallahu anha is explaining that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that. His actions were like that. Slow but steady. Not the one that just comes down very fast and then it stops. With some hailstones as well and then it stops. Right? This one is just slow and it just goes on. That is the kind of action that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, soft and slow but regular. Then she says that
وَأَيُّكُمْ. She understands why they're asking. Because everybody wants to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she knows how regular human beings are, and she knew how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could do. So then just to put him in his place and give him an understanding, he says, وَأَيُّكُمْ يُتِيكُمْ مَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُتِيكُمْ. You're asking about Rasulullah, but which one of you has the ability to do what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do? Think about it. She's saying that. Which one of you has the ability to do what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be able to do? So you keep asking that when, how, what, who. Just do whatever you understand, but be regular about it. The next hadith is hadith number 318. A very interesting hadith, this one. Again from Aisha radiallahu anha. She's such a lucky woman, isn't she? She gets to see all the really important aspects. And imagine the reward she's getting for giving the hadith that we act on. She says that دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ دِيمْرَ. One day Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came back to the house. And there was a woman in the house. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, who is this? مَنْ هَذِهِ. You know, who was that? Who's the woman? فَقُلْتُ فُلَانَ لَا تَنَامُ اللَّيْلِ. Oh, she's that woman who doesn't sleep at night. She worships all night. So there were women that used to try to do that as well. She's that woman that stays up all night. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, immediately, he said, عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا تُطِيقُونَ. Just keep doing those acts that you can do easily. Just keep doing those actions you can. You don't have to stay up all night. I don't stay up all night, he's saying. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't stay up. He used to do his tahajjud and go to sleep. Or most of the time he used to go to sleep and then wake up for tahajjud. But never the whole night. So he's saying, what's the point? That's not what we're here for. You're a human being, and Allah knows what human beings are made like. So don't overdo it. So that's what these next ahadith are about. He said, عَلَيْكُمْ, it is necessary for you to hold on to those actions, yani nafal actions. Fard you have to do. But in nafal actions, only do that much which you're comfortably able to do, without becoming bored and weary and tired of it. That's what he meant. Without becoming worn and tired. Because if you do that which you comfortably can do every day, then you won't become bored, you won't become lazy, you won't have to miss it and feel bad and then eventually just lose it all. Because that's how human beings are. In fact, in another hadith he mentions, إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَتِينٌ. This deen is very hard, strong. فَأَوْغِلُوا فِيهِ بِرِفْقٍ. You have to deal with it with softness. Because the deen is difficult. If you're going to try to overcome the deen, I can take you on, I can do it, it will overcome you. So do it softly. وَلَنْ يُشَادُ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Nobody tries to overcome the deen thinking, I can do everything, except that it will dominate him, it will overcome him, it will exhaust him. That's why the Prophet ﷺ then said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يَمَلُّ اللَّهِ لَا يَمَلُّ اللَّهِ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. Allah will not bore, Allah will not become weary, will not become tired, until you become tired. What that's trying to say is that that's explained in many different ways. Allah will never treat you with boredom until you become bored. What that means is you will always get your full marks. You will always get your full reward. Don't think that I have to keep doing so many actions because I might not get full deeds. I might not get full rewards. Allah will give you your full reward for whatever you do, as long as you do it properly. Don't think that I have to just keep doing it because I won't get my full reward. I won't get my full reward and Allah's busy, He's bored from giving me. Allah doesn't get bored. He will give you your reward, whatever you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cut the reward from you until you stop the action yourself. So keep doing whatever you can. So if you want lots of reward, then just do it regularly. Whatever you do, just do it regularly. And then she says, وَكَانَ أَحَبُّ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّذِي يَدُومُ عَلَيْهِ صَاحِبُهُ. That the most beloved of actions, the most beloved a'mal, according to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, was that on which the person did it regularly. That was the best. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned in the Quran those people who came up with all of these new ideas of the previous nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً بَتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعُوهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They went beyond the bounds. They decided that we're going to cut away from everything and go and become hermits and we're going to live that. That wasn't that kind of a rahbaniyah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا رَهْبَانِيَّةَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. There is no hermitude like that in Islam. You're here to be a social creature. You're here to be a social person. to live with people. Okay, there will be times when you have to go and do i'tikaf. There should be times when you just stay in your house. But you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to deal with people, and the challenge is that you stay a good Muslim in that environment by making sure you're regulated in what you do, right? It's not cutting away from everybody is not going to benefit you forever, you know, for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Yes, a month of i'tikaf is fine. That's why even the people of tasawwuf, they say that you should take on some ma'mulat, some awrad. Every day you do that much. And do not miss those. So if it's just 100 durood sharif, 100 salawat, 100 istighfar, 100 tasbihat, that's it. That's all you do. But make sure you don't miss that. So just find a time, find what you're going to do, and just start that. This is nafil acts. We're not talking about a faraid. You have to do the faraid. This is what we're speaking about. There's going to be a hadith that will come from Zayd ibn Thabit, in which the Prophet ﷺ just shows his moderation. So much worship for his own. When it came to the Sahaba, he said, Zayd ibn Thabit says, "Kunna idha dhakarna ad-dunya dhakaraha ma'ana." When we would talk about the world, he would also talk about the world. He was like, "Hey, you're talking about the world. I'm not going to talk about you." You know, he would talk about the world. "Wa idha dhakarna at-ta'am dhakarahu ma'ana." When we talk about food, he would talk about food as well, right? Oh, this is good food. Yes, this is good food. You know, and I can't speak about food. That's dunya. You know, there's some people that dry tasawwuf like that. It's not like that. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الْآخِرَةَ ذَكَرَهَا مَعَنَا. And if we talked about the Akhirah, then of course he would talk about the Akhirah with us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not continuously give us nasiha out of fear that we would get bored. Oh, he keeps talking about it all the time. He wouldn't do that. In fact, he told off Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu because he made a very long salat as an imam. And he said, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتْ أَيُّهَا فِتْنَا كَوْزَ. You're making such a long salat, people aren't going to want to come and make salat behind you. So he told him off for making long salat. But you want to make salat alone in nafil, sunnah, go ahead and do so. But fard, make it short. Make it moderate, because people are behind you. The next hadith is related from Abu Salih. He says, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha and Ummu Salama. I asked both of these wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ الْعَمَلْ كَانَ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which deeds were the best according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who comes and asks today, "What? Give me a sunnah to act on." The questions that we get nowadays is, "He took this from me. He did this to me. What's my right?" That's the questions we're getting nowadays. Not, "Can you tell me something to do, please? Can you give me another action to do? Advise me something." But they used to do that. He went and asked two wives. He asked Aisha, he wasn't happy, he went to ask Ummu Salama as well. He asked both of them, which amal was the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they both said, مَا دِيمَ عَلَيْهِ. That which was regular. That which somebody did regularly, وَإِن قَلَّ. Even if it was a small amount. Right? So start somewhere. Don't, you know, when you listen to all of these big awliya stories and how much they used to do, and you think, I'm going to do that, but you're not doing anything. You're not going to get there if you don't start off somewhere. So start with something small and you build onto it. And if you think, well, I'm just doing my fara'id, you can do your just fara'id, but are you going to get into Jannatul Firdaus? If you want a higher Jannah, the VIP Jannah, then you have to work ahead extra hard for that. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, once somebody said to him, he must have done something for Rasulullah ﷺ, so the Prophet ﷺ said, make a dua. What do you want? He said, I want murafaqataka fil Jannah. I want your companionship in Jannah. He said, are you sure? Is there something else you want? He said, no, that's what I want. He says, okay, fine. Just du'as isn't going to do it for you. Help me to get you to that place by kathratu sujood, by doing extra rak'ats. So that proves to us that to get to the high levels of paradise, we're going to have to work harder. That even by rahmah of Allah, He'll get us into paradise. Fine, I'll get you in paradise, but if you want high places, then work hard. May Allah give us the tawfiq. The next hadith is related from Awf ibn Malik. He says that, كنت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة. I was once with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night time. This hadith is a similar to one, and this is about salat. For some reason, Imam Tirmidhi wants to bring this final hadith of this chapter about salat and how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam salat was, right? At the end of the fasting chapter, maybe just to encourage us. So he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made miswak first, then he made wudu at night, then he stood up and then he made salat. I stood with him in jama'ah. This was nafil jama'ah, but this was just like ad hoc. Not announced. And then he started Surah Al-Baqarah. Every ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah that was about mercy, he would stop there and he would ask Allah for mercy. Every ayat that came that was a ayat of azab, he stopped and he asked for protection from it. Then he made ruku. And he stayed in his ruku as long as he took to read Surah Al-Baqarah in standing. And then in ruku he was saying Subhana dhil jabaruti wal malakuti wal azama, which means glorified is Allah, the one with the kingdom, with the sovereignty, and with the might and greatness. And then he did sajda as long as his ruku, and in that he read the same dua, Subhana dhil jabaruti wal malakuti wal kibriyai wal azama. And then after that he started in second rakat Surah Ali Imran. And then after that he started surah, another surah, and another surah. And so he just goes to show how many surahs he recited. Now, according to the Malikis and according to the Hanafis, this can only be done in nafl, not in fard prayer. Because it's not established in any fard prayer to do that. So in fard, if you're reading something, you can't kind of stop and do all these du'as in between. You just have to read the qira. Okay, I think we stop here, inshallah. And that's the end of this chapter. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamam al-afiyah wa dawam al-afiyah wa shukran al-afiyah. Allahumma ihfazna min al-bala'i wal-afati wal-mihan. Allahumma arhamna bil-Qur'an al-azim waj'alhu lana imama wa huda wa nura wa rahma. Allahumma dhakkirna minhu ma nasina wa 'allimna minhu ma jahilna. Allahumma arzuqna tilawata wa ana al-layli wa ana an-nahar. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil